Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And the episode that we just put out Tuesday was, of course, on Ebola, where we talked about the virus itself, about how it spreads, about how we can attempt to treat it, and how it plays into the current sort of global climate, the global ideas and fears and paranoia regarding that particular virus. So in this episode, we're going to talk about another closely related topic here, and that is quarantine, because that's a lot of what we're talking about when we're talking about Ebola, because quarantine is necessary to protect those that are treating the illness.
Yeah, and it also is one of those things that kind of plays into the whole Hollywood sensationalized idea of what a quarantine is. So
yes,
whether or not you're drawing that from E.T., you know, when the government comes in to, like, quarantine the house and,
right,
and get E.T.
Because it's scary, right? People in suits, and they've wrapped the house in this giant plastic bubble.
Yeah, or if you're even thinking about the movie Outbreak, again, it's the men in suits, you know, it's sort of like the they look like stormtroopers, except for definitely not as, you know, hard-skulled.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, it's very much the idea that you have become something alien because you were infected or may have been infected. And I look like something alien now because I'm in this dehumanizing suit. Like, there's a very dehumanizing level to it. And then on another level, and we were talking about this in an email just the other day, there's a dramatic sense to this too. There's the old saying, you don't bring a cannon on the stage unless you're going to fire it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel essentially the case is you do not introduce quarantine into a TV show, movie, novel, book, comic book, etc., unless somebody is going to break quarantine.
Yeah.
So it gives us this kind of skewed fictional idea about what quarantine is, how quarantine works, to what degree quarantine is effective or is ineffective. I mean, we just have a very unreal vision of what it is.
Yeah, and I was also thinking about Dr. Alan Jameson. He is a retired doctor who was working with Medical Teams International to treat Ebola patients, and he recently returned home to Tennessee in the United States, and he quarantined himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did this not because he had any symptoms of Ebola, but I think he understood that this topic right now is so supercharged and so emotionally just laden with fireworks with people getting angry that he was like, whoa, 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 guys, before you start, you know, congregating around my house with pitchforks and fire, I'm gonna lay low 21 days just to make sure, so don't anybody get crazy. So I thought that was a smart move on his part because he is isolating himself. His, you know, family's dropping off food on his porch.
It's a great excuse too to get out of social commitments. You know, I'd love to go to that baby shower, but I just got back. I'm not sick. There's nothing wrong with me, but just to be on the safe side, I can't go.
Yeah, I'm going to quarantine myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next time I get an e-vite for a baby shower, I'm going to put that in my no reply.
Sorry, I'm in quarantine.
Self-quarantine. You know. Sorry. So why would you quarantine someone, or why would a community quarantine itself? Viral strains like tuberculosis might be a reason. Bioterrorism has been thrown around as well. The idea that you might use one of these viral strains in warfare and try to contain it.
Yeah, I mean, at this level of the scenario, it plays out exactly like it does in the movies. There's something either unknown that is potentially communicable, or it is very much a danger. It can something that can spread and potentially become a major outbreak. So you want to contain it. You want to keep it from jumping to new individuals.
And when we talk about outbreak, epidemic, pandemic, let's give a little bit more definition to that. This is actually from WebMD. They say that with an outbreak, we're talking about a disease outbreak that happens when a disease occurs in greater numbers than expected in a community or region during a season. So the flu would be a good example of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then an epidemic is when an infectious disease spreads rapidly to many more people. And this may be just within the same region. It may involve several countries. It can vary in size and still be an epidemic. And then finally, you have the idea of the pandemic. In a pandemic, you're dealing with a global situation. And in examples of this would be AIDS, HIV, and various strains of influenza.
Yeah, and just to go back to epidemic, SARS is a good example of that. Yeah.
So I like to think of these also in terms of Beatlemania, right? I mean, you have a very regional outbreak of enthusiasm over a particular musical act, and then it grows and it becomes popular in other areas, and it eventually reaches a point at which it's a global phenomenon. Okay? And it's the same thing with any kind of, and essentially it's just in this case, it's a viral idea, a viral, taste, music as virus, celebrity as virus that spreads. But of course, it's based on that idea is based on a very real model of how infectious agents spread through a species.
Right. Beatles music spreading throughout a community, the world, great, but not so much with a virus. Now, we could go, for days about the history of quarantines, because there's a really rich history. Mm-hmm. Imagine every single country has some sort of protocol in place or history with quarantines. So we won't go way deep in there, but just to give everybody an idea of the practice of quarantining in earnest, this began in the 14th century, and according to the Centers for Disease Control, what was happening is that there was this effort to protect coastal cities from plague epidemics. So ships arriving in Venice, which would have been the seat of power at that time, from infected ports were required to sit at anchor for 40 days before landing. This practice called quarantine was derived from the Italian words 40 giorni. 40 giorni. 40 means 40 and giorni means days. So that's how we got the term in the first place. During that same time, since the plague was a fact of life for hundreds of years in Europe and in Asia and the Middle East, finding sick people and quarantining them was actually a job.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And what happened is that not many people really wanted to volunteer for it. So what you would have is usually older women without any other means of income who would search dead bodies or really sick people. And they would look for these plague victims, and then they would announce to local officials where they had found them in the families, and they'd get a few pence for each body or for turning in a family that was harboring one of the bodies.
Yeah, this is interesting to note, because it's easy to forget, especially looking at the Western and United States model of quarantine. Quarantine is largely self-reporting. It's more of an honor system.
Yeah.
I just came from somewhere. I think I might be sick. Yes, quarantine me because I want treatment if there's something wrong with me.
Right.
And maybe a distant second, I don't want to get anyone else sick either. But it's, essentially, there's going to be some self-interest there. You go back to this older model, and there is more of a sense of, please don't board me up in my house. Let me be sick on my own and or die in peace. And one of the problems is that you see... there's a lot of space between those two attitudes,
mm-hmm.
and you find various points on that line elsewhere in the world right now, as we discussed in our Ebola episode.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems is you have locals who are going to be distrustive of outsiders who are coming in and saying, "Hey, let me treat you. Why don't you come into our tent and let us treat you for your problems," and then telling you how to care for your dead, etc.
Yeah, and then I think this example is like a really good sort of like how people might get paranoid because, again, they're trying to hold on to their family. And
yeah.
So you've got this person, this older lady going around. She's the plague hunter. And you don't want her stopping by your home. But at the same time, this was a way to try to prevent further transmission.
So you see our modern quarantine practices, especially here in the States, kind of evolved over time and between state and local authorities. They've made sporadic attempts to impose quarantine requirements over time, generally in response to what's going on in the world and what's coming in and crossing the border. Continued outbreaks of yellow fever finally prompted Congress to pass federal quarantine legislation in 1878. Outbreaks of cholera from passenger ships arriving from Europe forced some reinterpretations of this law in 1892, and this provided the federal government with more authority in imposing those quarantine requirements.
So much so that during World War I, 30,000 prostitutes were rounded up, not because they were, you know, dealing in prostitution. It was because they were known to be hookers, and the United States wanted their soldiers to be venereal disease free.
Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Right, exactly. So that, again, was an attempt to try to, quash any sort of transmission here.
Then moving a little further on the timeline, Public Health Service Act of 1944 established the federal government's quarantine authority for the first time, and this act gave U.S. Public Health Service responsibility for preventing the introduction, transmission, and spread of communicable diseases from foreign countries into the United States. Now, this now originally part of the Treasury Department, the Quarantine and Public Health Service, or PHS, the parent organization, became part of the Federal Security Agency in 1939, and in 1953, PHS and Quarantine joined the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. And the quarantine was then transferred to the agency that we now know is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in 67, and the CDC remained part of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare until 1980, when the department was reorganized into the Department of Health and Human Services. And so today, the Division of Global Migration and Quarantine is part of CDC's National Center for Emerging and Zoonotic Infectious Diseases, and that's headquartered right here in Atlanta.
That's right. And just a reminder, zoonotic is just referring to diseases that are transferred between animals and humans. All right, so when can the government quarantine its own citizens? Well, here in the U.S., under 42 Code of Federal Regulations, Parts 70 and 71, the CDC is authorized to detain, medically examine, and release persons arriving into the U.S. and traveling between states who are suspected of carrying a communicable disease. And there's quite a list of these.
Yeah, the list includes diphtheria, infectious tuberculosis, yellow fever, hemorrhagic fevers, SARS, and any kind of new strain of influenza with pandemic potential.
Yeah, and the last large-scale isolation and quarantine was last enforced during the influenza pandemic in 1918-1919. That's also known as the Spanish flu.
Yeah, and that really underscores, again, what we've said about quarantining becoming more of an honor system situation here in the United States. Because beyond that 1918 situation, the only other account that we have is the CDC issued an order in 1963 to quarantine a single woman for smallpox exposure. So
yeah,
it's largely an honor system at this point. The CDC is not running around pulling ET shenanigans on anyone and wrapping houses and holding people against their will.
No, and I think the last sort of kerfuffle about this happened in 2007 when Andrew Speaker, an Atlanta native, mm-hmm. was placed under federal quarantine because officials learned that with tuberculosis, he had boarded two transatlantic flights because he had a destination wedding. And he knew he had tuberculosis, but well, you know, when you got a wedding.
I forgot about this case, yeah.
Yeah, people were pretty upset about it. So, you know, and he apologized and he said he didn't realize what a bad idea that was.
Well, you can get a card for that now. The Hallmark, I'm sorry, I potentially exposed you to tuberculosis card.
Yeah, they're so funny, too. Yeah. I love those illustrations. but yeah, you know, officials found out. They detained him in Montreal. Now, if you were to break a quarantine, if he had from the get-go been put under quarantine and he broke it, that would be a criminal misdemeanor. And in 2009, a 27-year-old man in Arizona diagnosed with, same thing, tuberculosis, was then quarantined in prison hospital ward for 10 months because he knew he had it, he failed to take his medicine, and he endangered others by going out and entertaining friends without wearing a mask.
Ah.
So, again, as you say, this is not like people are going to enter your house in a hazmat suit. Largely, it's self-reporting. Now, these laws can vary from state to state, and they can be really specific or broad. In some states, local health authorities implement state law, and tribes also have police power authority to take actions that would promote the health and well-being of their communities. So, yes, there's a federal level to it, but there is very much a state level to it. Again, giving you this idea that probably the hazmat suit people are not going to show up just because the government is going to lock everybody down.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
So, what happens when medical professionals suit up? Well, we've had some insight into that lately with the Ebola outbreak. And if you look at Dr. William Fisher's interview with Time Magazine, he shows what it's like suiting up in the field. He has helped in Guinea. And what he's saying is that, again, you want to minimize your exposure to blood, to vomit, to diarrhea, to any other fluids. So they are all required to wear personal protection equipment, which starts with a base layer of scrubs that you then put a big, thick layer of boots on. And we're talking like galosh kind of boots that go up to your knees. Then they put on an impermeable Tyvek suit that is incredibly hot, right? Because, again, this is trying to minimize the any sort of airflow that might come in, trapping your own stinky, fetid smell, right?
Right.
And then you have two pairs of gloves. Then you place an impermeable hood over your head, neck, and shoulders, a respirator covering your nose and mouth, and finally goggles. Everything is sealed. There is no speck of skin that is visible. So it's basically a full body prophylactic.
Yeah. And I've seen it flippantly referred to as a space suit as well, which isn't really that far off the mark. You're essentially throwing up as many barriers as possible between you and the pathogen.
Yeah. Also, I read, I don't know if this was from the IO9 article about all the odd quarantine things, but I read somewhere, no, it was actually in the Time magazine, that the astronauts from the moon landing, the person that they, when they came back, they were quarantined. And I guess that's sort of like, well, you never know.
I mean, at the time, what else are you going to do? One of the important things, and we'll continue to bear this out, to keep in mind is that the quarantine and hazmat and just the effective handling of these situations, it's not just about, oh, here's the suit. It's not just about here is the room and here's what's in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, okay, who's cleaning the suits? How are the suits handled after they're used? How are they provided? Who's managing the people that are cleaning it?
Mm-hmm.
What's, you know, the various training regimes that are involved and how the equipment is handled and just the overall sanitation and management of the whole process. And so there are a lot of moving parts there that have to be in working order for a proper quarantine situation to take place.
Yeah, and we'll look at that a little bit closer here when we talk about transporting someone who has a deadly virus. But I wanted to mention that at airports, and particularly right now, this is very active, the CDC operates quarantine stations across the U.S. in the airports. And officers are trained to spot symptoms of a virus, in this case, Ebola. And anyone who departs from a flight from an infected country and appears to have symptoms would be tested. And if they test positive, they would be rushed to a hospital and quarantined. So there are officials who are trained in this, and they're on the lookout for it. There are 20 U.S. quarantine stations located at ports of entry and land border crossings where international travelers arrive, and they are staffed with quarantined medical and public health officers from the CDC.
And indeed, most notably to the news right now, we do have one in Atlanta, which we acquired when we had the Olympics here.
And probably a lot of you have seen the imagery in the news of the jet the retrofitted jet that was used to transport two U.S. citizens who were over in West Africa and who contracted Ebola. And this thing is amazing to me.
Yeah, because you have it's almost like a container within a container within the airplane.
Yeah.
And I feel like people are drawn to it as much because it's almost a comforting image, because you see in this plane a lot of money thrown at a single individual to keep, in the name of treating their illness, but also in the name of preventing their illness from reaching anyone else. But it also ends up sort of playing into that paranoia, because you look at it and you're like, look at the tremendous precautions that were taken to protect us from what's going on here. So it can at times it can almost oversell it a little bit, in terms of just a public perception of what's going on.
Yeah, it's like an $18 million Ziploc job, really, if you look at it. The plane is large enough to accommodate a medical crew, and it's outfitted with a modular aeromedical biological containment system. So we're talking about this tent-like plastic structure. Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about the patients, he or her, they are on the gurney, and then they are tented in plastic. Mm-hmm. And then they're put in another tent. And should there be any sort of instance in which there's a hole in that plastic or anything that would cause a puncture in it, then what would happen is that the air would actually rush in from the inside, as opposed to the air from the inside of that tent going out. And the reason for this is that they actually have negative pressure within the tent, so that happens.
Yeah, you just want to limit the airflow as much as possible. I mean, basically cut it off when it comes to breathing the sick individual's air. Because, and remember that, the next time you were on a flight somewhere, you're essentially cramming into this small confined space with everyone, and you have this agreement, hey, everyone, we're going to all watch the movie Quarantine on our individual screens, but we are going to breathe each other's air for the entire duration of this flight.
Yeah, in this case, just imagine every single person individually tented so that no pathogens could cross into the cabin area. All right, so how effective is quarantining?
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Well, in a large part, it comes back to what I said earlier about there being a lot of moving parts. I mean, the quarantine is more than just the suit or the room. Mm-hmm. It's to what degree can you actually instigate a quarantine? Do you have the, for instance, if you're going to use a quarantine in another country, mm-hmm. do you have the means to carry it out? Do you have the personnel to carry it out? And then do you have the trust of the individuals involved in it? Because if we've discussed, quarantine has largely become an honor system situation here in the United States. But in cases where an individual is not trusting of the quarantine situation, if they're going to break quarantine, well, then that throws a monkey wrench into the whole thing.
Yeah, here's a couple of examples. One is from Dr. Howard Markle, who's the director of the University of Michigan Medical School Center for the History of Medicine. He looked to the past to see how effective quarantining was. And specifically, he looked at the Spanish flu pandemic in the U.S. in 1918. He looked at a bunch of cities, and he found that cities that early on adopted what he calls old-fashioned non-pharmaceutical interventions, like school closures, social distancing in the community, and workplace and quarantine, and layered multiple interventions at once for a long period of time, fared so much better than other cities who did not embrace any of those sort of closures. When they finally did, they did it at slower rates, and so they had higher infections. So it's not just about quarantining. It's about these other layers of distancing the person from the pathogen.
Indeed. Quarantine is just one tool in the overall toolbox of managing infectious diseases.
Now, if you look at Sierra Leone, which now has more cases of the Ebola virus than any other country in the regions, the quarantine isn't strictly enforced, and neighbors still continue to stop by, grieving families who have been affected by Ebola. And we talked more about this in the podcast episode on Ebola specifically, but as our listener Jessica pointed out in the listener email that we read, the community bond is very important in Sierra Leone, a place like that. And so it's very hard to stop people from getting together and grieving for one another, or, you know, even shutting down that part of their lives that is so integral to day-to-day survival. And then you think about how these developing nations, they lack the public health resources needed to really enforce this in the first place.
Yeah.
And the distrust of government and medical professionals and so on and so forth. And you can kind of see how this isn't really coming together as it could.
So we have an example of how quarantine is done in the U.S. We've talked about the ways that we have attempted quarantine in the past throughout history. But do we have another international example of quarantining in action?
Yeah, and this is extreme.
Okay.
This comes from China, and this was just in July of this year, 2014, in which authorities lifted a 9-day quarantine of 151 individuals from the city of Yumen, which was instituted after a 38-year-old man died of the bubonic plague infection. So here's the other thing about it. That's not so crazy. It's that entry and exit points were also sealed off, trapping nearly 30,000 residents. Now, no other cases had developed, but we have to contrast this to something that happened in the United States during the same time frame. Health officials quickly treated and released 4 Colorado patients who had been hospitalized and diagnosed with the more lethal and more contagious pneumonic plague.
Hmm.
And that's the respiratory form of the disease. And you can see how that would be more contagious because it's airborne. And still, no other cases have been reported here in the U.S. of the pneumonic plague. So when you look at that, you kind of say, well, what in the world is going on? Is it an overreaction from China? Is it an underreaction from the United States? And some health professionals would tell you, look, we have more information now. We have better testing. We know how diseases act. So we are able to treat those people and send them on their way. There wasn't a need to, like, shut down, you know, a large swath of the United States and not let anybody leave it.
Right. So the argument would be that the Chinese approach was maybe a little archaic because it didn't match up with our current understanding of how these illnesses work and how we can treat them.
It could be archaic, but it could also be on the part of Chinese officials of, hey, we have one of the largest populations
right.
in the world, and therefore we need to be stricter.
Okay. And the argument could be made that the Chinese simply responded with the model of treatment that worked best for that particular situation.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. And it's got to be, you know, I would say in that scenario, it probably is scary for 9 days that there's entry points and exit points that you cannot access. And you could sort of wonder what's going on mm-hmm. if you're in that community. That being said, you know,
hey,
all is well that ends
yeah,
well.
Yeah, both worked. So
yeah,
can't blame either side. All right. So there you go. Quarantine in a nutshell. What it is, how it works, where it came from, to what degree it's effective or ineffective. Again, be sure to listen to that Ebola episode that aired just before this one, if you haven't had a chance to yet, because that directly ties into everything we're talking about here. And, you know, we're looking to possibly do some more content on infectious diseases in the future. For my part, I always find them interesting. And so if there are particular diseases, viruses, pathogens, what have you, that you think are highly interesting that you would like us to cover, let us know, and we'll consider looking into them. As always, you can find us at stufftoblowyourmind.com. You have a question about what we do. You want to see the stuff that we've done. You want to check out our podcast episodes, all of them that we've ever made. You can find them at that website. You can find our videos. You can find our blog posts, pictures of what we look like, links to our various social media accounts. It's all there at stufftoblowyourmind.com. Be sure to check out Mind Stuff Show on YouTube. If you're a YouTube user, you're a YouTube fanatic, go there, subscribe, follow us, comment on our videos. We try to engage the viewers there as much as humanly possible. And, yeah, check that out.
Yeah, and if you have some thoughts percolating on quarantine, if you've ever been involved in one, let us know. Also, make sure you check out IO9's article 10 of the craziest things that you never knew about quarantines, and check out the one on Typhoid Mary. It's pretty interesting. All right, send your swirling thoughts to us at belowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com. Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.